Lord, in our busy and materialistic world, help us to learn how to be satisfied with what we have and generous in giving to those who need. Amen. Jesus talks a lot about money, but the parable in today's gospel reading is only found in Luke, and what Jesus says seems out of character to me. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal home. What? To be fair, accounting has never made sense to me, and I find this parable pretty damn sweet. Let's take it apart and try to understand it in our own context. A wealthy chief executive officer, the CEO, is told that the chief financial officer, CFO, of the company is embezzling and cooking the books to conceal the theft. He confronts the CFO, tells him that he is fired, and calls for a financial audit. The CFO panics. He knows that he is guilty as sin. But managing money is all he knows how to do. He is too wimpy for a manual labor job, and he would never beg. Then, the desperate CFO has a brilliant idea. He will contact each of his boss's debtors and make the credit match the debit by subtracting from each bill the amount he had overcharged them and kept for himself, and by having them write a revised IOU. If you were wondering, as I did, why one debt was reduced 50% and another only 25%, that is the joy of commodity pricing in a barter economy. In the currency at the time, each reduction would have been approximately 500 denarii, which was about 500 days' wages for a laborer. The CFO is still fired, but his boss's debtors feel as though they have gotten a deal. The CFO is anticipating that perhaps one day they will return the favor. Nowhere in the parable does it say the CFO returned the money he stole, but the CEO commends the CFO for being shrewd, because the debtors, who apparently never knew they were being robbed in the first place, now have a friendly relationship with the company. Now, Jesus does not condemn the dishonest money manager, nor does Jesus suggest he should copy that behavior. The CFO did the right thing, correcting the amount that is owed by the company's debtors, but he did it for the wrong reason, so that they might reciprocate when he needed a favor. That is to say, once his ill-gotten gains were depleted. Please note that the Bible does not say money is evil, but that the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not only about money. It is about anything that we put above God. Anything that we put ahead of God is an idol. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ said. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great command, and the second like this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. My army brat upbringing taught me the hierarchy: God, country, family, and way at the bottom, self. Money didn't even make the list. Doing research for this sermon, I learned that during his Christian conversion period, Bob Dylan released two gospel albums, Slow Train Coming and Saved. On Slow Train Coming, the chorus of the song, Gotta Serve Somebody, alludes to Jesus' sentiment in the final sentence. Verse 13, you cannot serve God and well. The song says, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord, said Joshua. Who or what do you serve? What do you value? How will you use your resources to love your neighbor? And now to the one who, by the power at work within us, is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. To God be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.